Okay, we're ready.
We're ready. Okay, so we're going to call this meeting to order at 17:46. Now, when I do the roll call, because Stacy's not sworn in yet, do I include her or not?
You can take roll with her.
Okay.
That's fine.
So I'm going to need an aye from everybody since some of us are virtual. So call the order. Christian Taylor here. Sean.
Here.
Thank you. John.
He's absent.
Okay. Wilma.
Here.
Thank you. Stacy.
Here.
Thank you. So we have the Pledge of Allegiance. Sherry, do you have a flag for us?
A flag. Are you seeing it?
I'm seeing it.
I know, but oh, you will all look at that.
Oh, that one.
They're looking at it.
Oh, okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, so we have the swearing in of our newly appointed board member.
That piece of paper.
I
know.
Don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
But
I'll just repeat after you.
Yeah, I gotta get it out now.
Oh.
That's all right.
Get it, Sherry, get it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get after it right now. Challenge the days, I'm just saying. Okay, Stacy, I need you to repeat after me.
Okay.
Okay. I, Stacy Kirkland.
I, Stacy Kirkland.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic,
that I will bear true faith,
that I will bear true faith,
and allegiance to the Constitution,
and allegiance to the Constitution
of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
Of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely,
that I take this obligation freely,
without any mental reservation,
without any mental reservation,
or purpose of evasion,
or purpose of evasion,
and that I will well and faithfully,
that I will well and faithfully,
discharge the duties,
discharge the duties,
upon which I am about to enter,
upon which I am about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to the board. Yay. I'm going to send that to you digitally. You can sign it digitally. Is that okay? Okay, Christian?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so we need an approval of the consent agenda. No.
Approval of the agenda.
Approval of the agenda, excuse me. Do I have a motion?
Approve.
Going from Sean.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
You got one from Wilma.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean.
Aye.
John is absent. Wilma.
And aye.
Stacy.
You got an aye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we need an approval of our consent agenda.
Can I just break once in a while to make sure Stacy knows where we are and what we're doing? So Stacy, on the consent agenda, if there's anything on there you think we need to discuss separately, you can just say, I'd like to pull out whatever letter so that then we consider that separately as a separate discussion.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's all one. Okay, Christian.
Oh, it's me again.
Do okay. Your thing.
You know, you don't really want to say that. All right. So we have public comment. Do we have public?
Actually, we still need to approve the consent agenda. Sorry.
That's all right. I just skipped right over it.
Yeah, well, no, I was explaining just how to pull an item out if Stacy wanted to talk about it separately.
Gotcha. So I need a motion for the consent agenda, please.
Move to approve.
You got Sean.
Thank you, Sean. And a second?
Second. That's Stacy.
Thank you, Stacy. All in favor by roll? Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
John is absent. Wilma?
Aye.
And Stacy?
Aye.
Perfect. Okay, now we're on to public.
Do we have any? Have one member of the public sitting back here. It's Walter Kirkland, who is, of course, connected to Stacy. We'll see if he has anything to comment. Walter? Nothing to comment, so no public comments.
Okay, cool.
Oh, Whitney's here too, right? Is anyone at Portola or Susanville? Sorry, guys, sitting all by yourselves. Okay.
All right. So we're going to move on to reports. Does anybody on the board have a report?
I'm not hearing anything.
Okay. So that means you're up, madam.
Yep. So yesterday we had all our teachers here in person, which was, I mentioned earlier, you know, just really wonderful to have everybody together. I think we did some interesting activities to really focus on taking care of ourselves, because we got a lot of caretaking for children that have different levels of concerns, and we needed to be sure that take care of us and then make sure we're helping build relationships. So a lot of what we did was looking at that kind of content of what we could be doing. And then midday, someone called me over to say, did you see this? That Newsom made his announcement yesterday afternoon about, you know, educators having the mandate, or anyone at school employees having the mandate for vaccinations or testing. So I think some people felt pretty upset by that. You know, we've since found the actual order that's out there so that people could read it and get the info. You know, it was mandated to go in effect immediately, but we have to comply by October 15th. No comments, no questions, everyone's looking at me. Okay.
Well, I guess my biggest comment is, how does that affect the board? And I don't think we have an answer for that.
I don't have an answer for that. Walter, you have an answer?
No, I don't have an answer, but I have a question. Do you guys have to pay for the testing or for the non-vaccinated?
The school is paying for the testing. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yes, the school is paying for it. And I want you to know, the state has thrown crazy dollars at us, okay? Just absolutely crazy dollars. And part of it was for COVID related issues. So the state is saying, hey, remember that money we threw your way? That's one of the purposes you can be using it for. So we will be doing that. And so part of our investigation right now is just identifying tests. You know, right now we test people, our staff, 3 times a year. And we aligned that with before school started. So everyone that's shown up on campus has gotten a test. Next week, all our paraeducators and clerical staff come back and they'll get their tests. We send it to the Valencia labs down in Southern California. And
within 3 days, I think sometimes it's 2 days, we get our result back. But now I'm hoping that we get something that's maybe a little quicker. We can do a rapid test kind of process, but you know, we're figuring that out right now. But I did hear some, you know, I've asked for people to come to me and let me know, but I will not be shocked if we lose a couple of employees who don't want to be subjected to testing either. You know, I'd love to work with them because I don't disagree with them, but man, it's hard to find people to work for us. There's just not enough employees, and getting people even on this campus, even more so, that could really, you know, cause people who are already working really hard in crazy hours and in the midst of chaos to maybe have to multitask and do more things. So, you know, that's a concern.
But the new thing is tested weekly, right?
It's once a week.
So don't you think other schools, maybe there might be something where they'll just hire a person to actually come to the locations rather than...
So we have no problem with doing the testing.
You just have to send it out.
It's a sending it out. And Elle took the training for the test we use right now. And literally, we tested 20-something people in about 20 minutes. You know,
so it's the same we were using quarterly or whatever.
Right. Right. We'll do it weekly. Yeah. So it's still self-administered, you know, the swab that you do in your nasal cavity, not up in your brain, right? Mm-hmm. And
how can you even ask if someone's vaccinated? I mean, what about the law, the HIPAA laws? Are we suspending all those in the emergency?
I'm sure it has something to do with that. But the question that we ask is, are you vaccinated? Would you like to show us proof that you're vaccinated? Because if you show me proof, then I don't have to test you. If you don't show me or you're not fully vaccinated, I have to assume you're unvaccinated and make you do the test. So that's how it's going
to... I thought we used to have a CSEA and a CTA in the state.
They are in favor of it, Sean.
Really.
Yeah. I have heard that, and I went looking for the teachers' union is in favor of, and Valerie, you're jumping in there. Have you heard that? Teachers' union actually is in support of the new mandate for vaccine or test?
I have not heard if they are in favor or opposed. Sorry, I am not.
Maybe we just check in with you. But there's several articles and it says that. Do I think the local Lassen County Teachers Union will be in favor? No.
Probably split.
But in the big centers, Sacramento and Los Angeles, those were the ones that I was reading about, and they're apparently in favor.
So what about, I don't know if this is a huge tangent, I don't mean it to be, it does apply. But I've been hearing about, you know, some of the schools, Lassen High School, trying to have our local health, like try to get it so that, you know, parents write letters and things like that to get, to ask for us to be able to follow our public health, of what guidelines that Lassen County puts on out instead of the state.
Right.
Is there any way, I don't know. I mean, I'm vaccinated and I hate that I have to wear a mask because why else did I get vaccinated? And, you know, it's just like going, and I'm sure teachers, if I'm frustrated with it, teachers have to be frustrated too.
And there's no doubt. So what the message I put out to our staff is share your words and your frustrations so that I can pass that up the chain also. You know, I'll reach out to Megan Dolly and whoever I can get to listen to say, here's some of the comments and the effect it's having.
Well, can we get parents involved in that also?
So Stacey, I'm just a little bit realistic and jaded, right?
Yeah.
Nobody, do you have a prison closing in Susanville.
Yeah.
A lot of people have gotten involved to try to fight that.
Yes.
I when I look at the overall state attitude, where our voices are this big compared to what's out there. And I have no doubt that Governor Newsom made that declaration because he had the union support from those big communities. So while great, we can encourage parents to write letters,
our voice won't be heard.
And who do we get to do that? Lassen High may have more staff members that they can get somebody to help collect and do something with it. I don't have anybody that it would take them off of educating kids and doing what we need to do, our business of working with the kids. So I'm open for it, but that's sort of where I have fallen on that.
Okay.
But if you tell me, post something and, you know, invite it, I'm happy to invite letters that we can then share.
Okay.
So I don't know, Christian, I don't know, you become volunteers or visitors to the building. I didn't understand anything that would apply to a visitor, but I think it all remains to be seen.
Okay.
So yeah, much to learn. And it just, you know, we've had all this other new legislation this summer that have caused us to jump through a bunch of hoops. So to add this and know that we may lose staff members is just kind of over the top.
Yeah.
Right. That's my question.
Okay, so we're gonna hand the floor over to Ms. Valerie to go over our financial report. Valerie, it is you.
All right. Let me do a screen share with you all. Oh, it looks like I'm disabled.
Have to give you permission.
Yes, I need permission. Okay, let's try this again. Maybe. All right. Let's see. You guys see this screen here with the LVCS? You usually see a band around it. Hold on. Let me try it one more time. Screen share. I'm going to do screen two. Share. Okay. Are you able to see this?
Yes.
Great. All right. As you guys are well aware, we've had some changes. From the time that we met back on June the 10th and approved your budget, based on the governor's May revise, and between the May revise and the final enacted, lots and lots of changes. There were some increases in funding and new programs. And so Sherry just wanted me to kind of summarize that for you. And we'll be evaluating some of these programs and deciding whether they would be a good fit for Long Valley and Thompson Peak. And if so, we'll incorporate those into your first interim budget. So this just kind of highlights the changes that we saw. The first change was they increased your state aid concentration grant from a 50% to 65%. And that will be ongoing. That is not just a one-time increase. So you can see here what your funding was for that particular revenue and then what it is with the increase. So we have that. With that comes the responsibility for Sherry to update the LCAP plan. And they're saying that those additional funds need to be used for staffing that have direct services with pupils. The other increase was special education funding. That had a sharp increase. I don't know that we've seen one this large in many years, but the funding went from 625 per ADA average daily attendance to 715, so about a 15% increase. We also saw a new improvement grant. It's called the A to G completion grant, and this is targeted at helping schools with their high school students who graduate with the A to G core curriculum eligibility. And so Sherry could probably speak to the program side of that and what that all means, but there's more grants for you guys in that area. There's also more grants with regards to meals for the students. And for the 21-22 year, each school would get a $25,000 grant to help with kitchen infrastructure. So that freezer that just went on the fritz could possibly be replaced with this infrastructure grant. There's also some training for the cafeteria staff. And then beginning in the 2022-23 school year next year, all schools will be providing two meals a day to children regardless of their income eligibility. So it's kind of a shift away from what we had before to a different kind of a look on meal programs. So that's going to be ongoing, and we'll learn more about that hopefully in the months to come. There's also a pre-kindergarten and planning and implementation grant. And this is something that Governor Newsom, he's pretty big on, you know, the preschool and the age four group. And so it's basically a year to plan and prepare for a phase in of a transitional kindergarten for all four-year-olds beginning in the 22-23 school year. So I believe it's a four-year phase-in, but basically it's going to be, TK will be open for all four-year-olds, and there will be funding behind that, which up till now you've only gotten funding if the child in TK is aged five. So this is different. So another grant and another plan. Let's see, there's also an educator effectiveness grant, block grant. And this is pretty much gonna be centered around training and professional development for the staff. So that's headed your way. There's a plan due on that at the end of December. Hopefully that'll be a pretty easy one for us to put together, but there'll be some more funding there. So if we take a look at all of those programs that I just highlighted, the two increases in your funding plus these new programs, there's a potential increase in your budget for each of the schools of right around $300,000, $320,000 and $294,000 for Thompson Peak. So a lot of changes, and I'm happy to answer any questions or just kind of talk about any of these if you guys would like.
So Valerie, we're still, you know, getting over the shock of the whole weekly testing.
Yes.
That's not going to be a cheap venture. We certainly have plenty of teachers who've made an election to not get vaccinated.
Right.
So I know it's going to be costly. I know the tests we do now are $25 a piece, which I think is still discounted, right, from what you would do on your own. But what source of funds will we be able to use to pay for those tests?
Right. So that's about a 24-hour notice that we're all trying to adapt to. Off the top of my head, I would definitely say the ESSER funding, that the overarching allowable use thing is you're spending a result of preparing, preventing, and responding to coronavirus. And if it is, then that's where you're going to look to your ESSER funding. So testing would obviously be a part of a response to COVID. So I would say at this point, it would be the ESSER funding that you have. But there could potentially be, I don't know, maybe they're going to offer additional reimbursement outside of the ESSER funding for this for this testing that they're requiring.
Yeah, I'm ready for the state to pony up to some compensation for the employees who have to go through that crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Is that going to be able to be done on campus, or do they have to go somewhere else to get the test done, the test?
Do it on campus. We've already been doing it on campus for
okay.
our surveillance testing that we've done with employees.
Okay.
We were already on the path to trying to get rapid result tests because for the purpose of students and staff. So if you have symptoms, you know, there's all kinds of rules written and they change all the time. But there is a rule right now that says if a child is symptomatic and you could do, obviously parent has to sign off and say it's okay to do. But by having it here on our campuses, they could take the rapid test. And if it's negative, they go home for 24 hours and come back tomorrow. If we can't do that, then there's all these other rules about a longer time out. So mm-hmm. you want to have that to offer to families because
right.
you're enjoyable. But, and it's the same thing in Portola. At least in Susanville, you can go to a place in Susanville. In Portola, you have to drive down to Quincy, and not everybody's able to do that. For here, you're driving up to Susanville for a test. So those
are
all
pretty great. Excuse me, Sherry? Sorry to interrupt, but in Portola, they can get tested at the lab and the clinic.
The doctor's order, Christian.
Yeah, so all you have to do is call the front desk of the clinic and say, I need a COVID test. They put the order in and you go to the lab.
Okay. That is not the info I got 2 weeks ago when someone needed to go. So
really?
They were told by the Department of Health to go down to Quincy. That Portola required a doctor's order. That you have
to
go. Yeah.
I guess if they've never been seen, but if they've been seen by us, the doctors do it all the time.
Let's talk about that. There's a lot of people that don't have a regular doc that they would see.
Yeah. Huh.
We're just trying to find ways to make it convenient, make it cost-free for families when they
yes.
need that. They have to see somebody.
I'll certainly be looking for any updates on that. It's going to be a big issue. I also just found out, we got news today, Sherry, that your expanded learning opportunity grant, we used to have two resources that we would use for that, the paraprofessional. The balance, they've now split that, and now it's six resources because they're adding federal funding to that grant. So I'm keeping track of how many resources they have come up with programs since COVID, and we're up to 20.
Oh my,
20 programs. So, and that's a lot of tracking of, you know, all those very
consult all the time, like which, how are we coding
yeah.
that?
Yes.
Exactly. Which purpose, which one, what's the balance in that account? It's gotten a lot more complicated.
Yeah, and they added four more today. So, keeping life interesting.
Well, it's a good thing we're sharp, huh?
Yeah. I don't know, sometimes.
And Valerie, anybody all else
right.
have any? I'm seeing head shake no, Christian. Did you have anything else? You good?
She's muted.
Yep. We're not hearing you, Christian.
This whole mute button kills me. no, I'm good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Valerie.
Thanks, Valerie.
All right, have a nice evening, everyone. That's the worst. Yeah.
Okay. So it's back to me. So program reports. We'll come back to those in September once school begins. Informational items. Sherry, do you want to go over these?
Sure. I just thought we ended up changing propane companies in the spring because I have no idea why, but Jared, what's it? AmeriGas, right?
Yep. So in Portola, we're actually still with AmeriGas. Okay. But AmeriGas had huge issues with, when COVID had hit, they fired all the local office people and then half the truck drivers quit. So then I think there was one truck driver between Sierra, Lassen, and Plumas. So then obviously they weren't filling up everybody. So the Doyle School ended up switching to another company that was able to get them propane on time. Portola, one of the local parents actually ended up becoming a local driver. So he was like, text me if you run low and I'll be there the same day. So it worked out for us. But it was really frustrating because I think we ran out of propane twice, once in December and once in January. And it took them a week to come out and fill it. Just ridiculous.
So when you change a company, they came out to do inspections on the tanks and they determined everything was in good shape. So I wanted you to see that safety report since we had one done. That was why that was there. And of all the new legal changes, I think I wrote this in an email at some point, but the bright spot was they extended charters by 2 years. So our charter is now expiring June 30, 2026, instead of 2024, which is such a blessing. I'm so excited over that. That'll be right at the point I'm ready to retire.
No, I don't like that.
So I'm committed to making sure everybody's got a renewal done and good for another 5 years. And that might be the point I step away or work really part-time. I'll still hang out.
I was like, as long as the renewal part's done.
Yeah, we'll get the renewal.
That would be a great send-off. All right, good luck, everybody.
Well, and I like the idea that the leadership team would get to live through a renewal process where they can be actively involved in it so that they know how that needs to work. But part of the process, I was not sure. I sent, a little bit formal notices to each of the authorizers to say, just to make sure they understood that the date changed in case they weren't paying attention to that. And then I gave you in writing this Beckworth fire update. We opened our doors for the U.S. Forest Service. Elle and I are increasing our list of things that we need to check when they depart so that we can make sure we've checked everything. We've been finding little things that we missed checking. But I think it was important. There was a reassurance that when that fire was coming raging into Doyle, to know that those folk were all camped out on the back 40, they'd be defending this. Place was kind of a nice feeling, so I feel like I would do it again. And they were very easy and fair in whatever we identified. They said they didn't have people to send, so they just wanted to settle and send us money so we could have our own people do it. So that kind of worked out. I got connected to a person at CDE, the California Department of Education, who is the emergency services person for California Department of Ed. Apparently they hired a couple of gentlemen after the Camp Fire and the Sonoma County fires so that they realize schools need support in those kind of emergency conditions. So I got hooked up and they gave me information. We learned a lot about what we needed to do with ash, how we needed to get our air filtration systems inspected, change the filters. You know, there were definitely some steps as a school we needed to do. And in that, I learned about something called a local assistance center, which is done by the Office of Emergency Services in the state of California, and they work with the county reps. And so when I called the county rep, I said, oh, I've heard about this LAC, where are you doing it? And they said, they're pretty sure they're doing it in Susanville. And I honestly, like I can remain pretty calm most of the time, but there are times when somebody says something to me that just puts me over the edge. And that put me over the edge. I said, you're doing it in Susanville for people that live 45, 50 minutes away? And they said, well, we're doing it for all the Beckworth fire survivors. I said, okay, so I know Doyle burned, where else? And anyway, the point was taken. They called us back and said, could we have it at your school? So we accommodated them for that purpose, and they had, anyone local knows that they were here for 2 days with that event. They brought in 18 services, organizations that, you know, I came in the one day to kind of check it out, and people were here. Department of Motor Vehicle has a mobile office, and they set it up in one of the rooms so that people could get new licenses, replace registrations, right? If your vehicle's destroyed, you need to, I don't know what the right word is, but basically cancel it out. So there were people here helping local residents. So it was kind of cool.
I'm glad we have the school that could do that.
So they were pretty sure they were going to work with a church that was in town. That's what they had told me after I made a big deal about where. And then they came back and said, well, they don't have lighting and they don't have air conditioning. Do you have lighting and air conditioning? Yes, we do. So they came back. I have learned so much between those two things, you know, with working with the Forest Service and the Office of Emergency Services. So anyway, and then I sent you all the update on AB 130 and AB 104. AB 104 is allowing a couple of things for students that might have been harmed as a result of COVID. It included if a family wants their child to have been retained in last year's grade because they feel like the student really got so far behind, they have the ability to request a conference within 30 days. The school needs to sit down and have that conference, go over kids' records, their academics, talk about a plan to maybe accelerate things for them so that they can be caught up without doing that to them. And, you know, just talk about benefits or concerns of retention. And then we have to render a decision within 10 days. But it just gave a method and a process to say you have to at least sit down with a family who might want to consider that. So we'll be posting that soon for parents to know that they can ask that. Then it said, if you have a student, this is for high school students, who got a D or an F for more than half of their classes, they can request to change the grades to pass or no pass without any effect on their GPA. And we have to post a list of the colleges that accept pass, no pass on the transcripts. So we'll be doing that. And actually, it's triggered from the time we post it, which I'll wait till the first day of school. Families have up to 15 days to make those requests. But what's kind of cool is we do a mastery-based learning kind of program. So they don't get a D or an F. They have to keep working until they bring it at least to a C. So we actually don't have that as a situation. But then the third thing, I think we will have some students that this affects. And it's if you were in 11th or 12th grade last year, you have the right to request that we waive all the graduation requirements above the 130 state minimum. So just letting that sink in for a second. And there's definitely some kids that are in that boat that might not have been on track to graduate. We're allowed to let them stay another fifth year. We need to make sure they understand that that 130 credits is not going to get them into a college that's looking at scores and coursework. But I would say we have a lot of kiddos who've come to us being way behind. And for them, they're planning to go to a community college, or they're planning to just go into the world of work. And that may actually kind of be a blessing for them to say, okay, great, let me just move on. So we'll be notifying those students that that is an option.
Are you notifying all students or those?
I'm gonna notify every, I'm gonna notify everybody.
Okay.
Okay, I feel like being transparent, putting it on Parents Square, you know, putting some flyers up. And then, you know, like Jared has a young man who has, you know, it's a special education student who has struggled every step of the way. I think that kid's family will take advantage, because what he really wants to do is get out and work, because he's not going off to, you know, anything beyond high school right now. So that's an option. Anyway, that was AB 104. And then AB 130 was the trailer bill, the budget trailer bill, which is huge. It's over 200 pages, the trailer bill. It affected a couple things, but one of the most significant things, and this has most schools, not just charters, in a complete tailspin, because they said, we are not allowing you to do distance learning anymore. So when you have a student who goes out on quarantine or has COVID or any of those kinds of situations, you can't just let them, you know, we were letting those students Zoom into their regular classroom so they didn't miss the flow. We had certain requirements that we had to document when in those situations, but they said nope. And again, I think you had a lot of schools through the state who didn't bring kids back to in-person, and they kind of abused the distance learning options. So this is punishment for everyone. And the independent study is now the rule. So if you're going to be out for 2 weeks, you have to go on independent study, which has a ton of paperwork and documents that need to be taken care of. So, you know, we're just trying to figure out on our own, even right now for us, how do we do that with having the least amount of disruption for the student, especially when they're on that temporary sort of situation. And again, teachers don't need to learn 10 new things right now to be able to do independent study when they've never done it before. Some of the schools have talked to me offline and expressed their interest in letting students know that they could go to the independent study program at our schools, because they know how much work it is. So I thought that was kind of interesting. We do know how to do independent study. Unfortunately, today we had one of those long meetings with all our teachers of independent study to share with them all the new requirements in independent study. For example, if you have a student in TK through third grade, you have to provide daily opportunities for instruction. Daily synchronous instruction is the phrase they use. So you gotta be live with the kiddo, either in person or on Zoom, but you have to do that every day. So one of the things we sat down and did is really looked at schedules, because we have to allow time for those staff members to be able to deliver those extra services that weren't there before, and how to reduce everybody's roster. I think it was a good year to do it, since the state's thrown some extra bucks at us. And I think clearly those are as a result of COVID that we're having to do some of these extra activities.
Yeah, just a lot more documentation of things. We made it that you absolutely have to meet with your teacher once a week. We've been saying that, but not everyone was doing it. Now, all the new rules require once a week. You have to make judgments and take attendance. And it triggers some pretty serious activities on our part. If a student misses like 3 days in a week that they've just blown off or MIA, which can happen from time to time, we have to start talking to the parent every day. I don't think any of these things are bad. I think they're probably good for kids, but it's a shift for everyone to learn new ways. And questions, comments? This one is truly, in like everything else that we see going on, we're building the plane as we're flying. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this could have been a thing that they put into effect like January 1 and at least give us a few months to figure out processes. Like, we definitely have some flipped out teachers right now who are overwhelmed and like, are you kidding me? We'll just keep on keeping on. So that's all those info items, Christian.
All right. So we're ready for action?
Yes.
Okay. So, oh geez, hang on. My screen did something weird. So discussion and possible action regarding the approval of independent study policy update. That would be A. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve.
You got Sean.
Thank you, Sean. Do I have a second?
Second.
You hear Mama?
Kind of. Okay, all in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Okay, discussion, on to item B, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the 7/1/2021 through 6/30/2024 College and Career Access Pathways Partnership with Butte Glen Community College. Do I have
a
motion?
It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
To approve.
Thank you, Sean. Do I have a second?
I second.
We got Stacy.
Okay. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean.
Aye.
Wilma.
Aye.
Stacy.
Aye.
Thank you.
So before we get too far down the COPS grant one, I just want to address that for a minute because the impact of doing that one is an expenditure, a serious expenditure for our school. You know, we had the Central Intelligence Agency of the state of California came in and did a security assessment on this campus. And thankfully, Fort Sage wrote us into a grant for school security. So, and when I say us, I mean Doyle. And I think it was limited to Doyle because we are in their district, their physical district. So the amount they wrote it for us is a 60,000 grant, of which we have to put in 15,000 of that, and we'll get reimbursed 45,000. The number one thing that they talked about was fencing that our campus here is just too easily penetrated. There's nothing stopping people from wandering in. And again, if you have somebody trying to do harm, having something to slow people down is a good thing. So the fencing, you know, we have a pretty good sized yard out back, is $99,000 to do 8-foot fencing around the perimeter, rebuild the fences. And that was pretty much the price from the other vendor as well. We got two bids. So this would require us to be spending out of our own pocket $55,000 which we have. And I really do think that it's important to start taking action like that and secure the campus. I just wanted you to be really clear on the impact of an approval on this.
Okay, so item C, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the COPS grant expenditures. I will make a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Thank you. On to item D, discussion and possible action regarding the purchase sale agreement for 99 Paiute Lane in Susanville, California.
Look at Kelly. First time I'm seeing her excited. And I want you to know that Wilma came up on that day. We finally got up there to look at the building we don't have access to. So Kelly, myself, and Wilma got to walk through it last week.
It's rough.
It's rough.
It's rough how?
It's in need of some repair.
Now, is that the gymnasium?
Yeah.
And are we talking about replacing a floor, or are we talking about spackle and paint?
So the locker room, the locker rooms were in a little bit rough shape. Some of the toilets need to be reinstalled. There's like a sink laying on the floor. I think there had been leaks and part of the roof had come in. When I saw it in the very beginning, 3 years ago, it was, parts of the roof were dangling there. They are not anymore. In some of the classrooms upstairs on the second story, there are holes in the ceiling. So they repaired the roof, but not re-sheetrocked spaces. So what's definitely usable is the gymnasium. The gymnasium is in good shape, but some of where the locker rooms and the classrooms need some TLC, some repairs. The appraiser who came up, we use the same appraiser out of, I think she's out of South Lake Tahoe, had appraised this building. And she was approved, the USDA let us use her. So I feel like she's got decent credentials. When it came time needing an appraisal, I talked to Mike Kirak and he agreed to use that person and we split the cost of her. And she got to walk around, she drove up and walked around. So she absolutely saw the condition. We made her really aware of the fact that a prison was closing and that might change the dynamics of the community. And that appraisal would come in at $1,200,000.
Now, I heard that the prison wasn't going to close. Is that?
No.
Well, they have a stay on the decision right now. I think there's some court case that they're trying to go through, but nothing is final or the people that I've talked to, just friends that work out there, think that it's a done deal regardless. Nothing's official yet, but.
Walter couldn't have it.
Oh, that's right. You have any info for us, Walter?
I work across from the SEIU union president for here, and we have the injunction that was done by the local judge. There's a hearing on the 17th, and they're expecting the state to appeal. We're hoping that the judge will order that the injunction is still in place until the appeal is heard. The appeal will probably go to Sacramento. to a, to the next level court, beyond the county now to a state level court. The grounds is that there was a violation of penal code, there was a violation of another law, and that so we could be in this. So the state is taking it seriously. They were going to put out information for people to verify their seniority scores, and that was actually supposed to be dropped in my email today. And they stopped that and said they won't do that until the injunction has been lifted. People were supposed to come to the prison to answer questions as part of the workforce dispersion team.
Right.
They did not come because it's part of doing anything right now would be in contempt of court.
Okay.
We'll know more after the 17th. I expect it to be appealed and moved on to another level court. And so then it might be 2, 3, 4 more weeks until we know something else. So probably end of September. There's a lot of people think this is a done deal. Those of us who are hoping that the courts say, yes, you did, that Newsom did violate penal code, did break the law, and you have to go back to the drawing board, which then could give us 6 months, and by then Newsom might be gone.
Yeah.
So that is all this scuttlebutt. Oh, and well, it's too late to sign me out, but there's a couple tour buses filled with people going down to Sacramento on the last Friday. And one of our students is going to learn about the civic process.
All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks for that update. So, you know, the reality is that building is grandfathered in as a school. That's so significant because I can't think of many places in Susanville where we could bring that many kids and teachers and qualify, because so many of the buildings are older. When we went looking for something to buy at one point, you know, there was either fuel on the property, there were all kinds of issues that would not allow us. Now, when you get to the things that are on the outskirts, it's too close to the airfield, because you have to be a certain distance away from the airfield. So it's complicated there. So when we leased that building with our three-year lease that's expired now, and they've extended it for us. He apparently has had other people interested in purchasing it, but we had their first right of refusal. We said, no, we'd really like to go for it. So we've seen it. We've had the appraisal. I actually started talking to Umpqua Bank, which is where we have some funds on deposit, which, boy, am I glad we diversify a little bit and spread that money around. They are really kind of open to wanting to help us. So the first step is to get a purchase sale agreement. And, you know, he seemed good with the appraised price. I don't see any room to negotiate, you know, down from there.
Okay. And the building's being sold as is, correct? Okay. So do we have a motion?
I motion to get that school purchased.
Thank you, Stacy.
And then a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Stacy?
Aye.
Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Great. Okay, on to item E, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the USDA loan resolution.
Hey, Molly, we might actually own all of our school buildings. It's just super exciting, right? So that I wrote this to you in an email, and I know you probably all read it, but that our rep up in Alturas was just blown away that they came back and said, we're going to reduce the amount of your loan and give you some free money grant instead for
that difference, which is just, you know, I'll take it. Just so you know, doing this other purchase sale agreement slightly complicates things because we have to go back and report to them that we're doing something different with our finances, but it's just the timing is such that now it's going to be.
Okay, I'll make a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Okay, we are on item F. Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the updated COVID-19 safety plan, including health and safety 5010, injury and illness policy addendum 1012, and the safe return to in-person instruction plan.
We have to include more pieces in it.
Doesn't include the mandatory vaccines, right?
No.
Okay. I move to approve.
I second.
So we got Sean and Stacy.
Okay. So I had one question, and that was the visitors and vaccinated staff when children are not present. Can we not have them mask and let them be able to breathe?
Are you asking to modify the motion?
Yeah.
To modify the policy? Can you say how you would say it?
Well, I would just modify it to those that, you know, when children aren't present, there's no need to mask.
Will we get in trouble, Sherry? It's our policy.
I know it's our policy. Here's what my issue was, because I know I've had some pushback from the few vaccinated people that want to be free of wearing masks when children are not present. That means that whoever is the admin has to now keep track of exactly who is and isn't vaccinated and do some sort of enforcement. So what happens when the person sitting at the next desk is taking their mask off? And we don't know, like maybe that's the unvaccinated person. So it opens a door for complication, which is why I wanted to keep it straight across the board. When you're at school, you wear a mask.
Well, can we ask the administrators what they feel?
You betcha.
Kelly, what do you think?
We talked about this in the leadership team. You know, for me, I have so many things going on, and to be able to police that level is really challenging for me. So knowing that kind of information and always thinking about it and always, you know, that really becomes a challenge to me. You know, but I do understand people that are vaccinated, you know, they probably don't want to wear a mask, and I get that. I voted that just to make, you know, it easier that everybody's, you know, wears a mask just to, you know, be easier to kind of manage, I guess would be the lack of a better word, but that's what I voted for.
Jared?
So I feel the other direction. Everybody knows who is vaccinated or unvaccinated. There has to be some amount of self-policing. But the other thing, the guidance that was set out for the school districts specifies that visitors, you can put a sign outside of your building that says, if you're entering this building without a mask, you are accepting that, we are accepting that you are vaccinated. Which means that visitors, when students are not present, do not have to be masked. So in the board meeting right this second, if you guys were unmasked, we would assume that you were all vaccinated without ever asking the question, is what was put out as guidance.
Okay.
And Misty, who's here on this campus, and you've been in these conversations, is very much make it everybody, because she's got a much larger staff, right? Jared's got a smaller staff, and they're all really aware, so.
Well, what is the, will we be fined, or is there, I mean, I know like last year, like Cal OSHA and all of that, are they still policing things? You know, mask wearing, you know, campuses.
We have not had any visitors ourselves. I've heard of other places in Susanville where they've stopped in, but I assume they could. But if they show up on campus, you know, the point that if you are vaccinated and not wearing a mask when no children are present, is that okay? You wouldn't be doing something illegal from Cal OSHA's perspective.
I don't know why we couldn't just, like Jared said, use the honor system on that and take the burden off the administrator. I know some people are going to take advantage. There's no kids here. I didn't hear.
Would they have to show proof?
Why we couldn't just go the way Jared was saying and do the honor system, even though it will be abused somewhat, but take the burden off the administrator. Everybody's adults.
And absolutely, along those lines, if a student was present in the room, you have to, vaccinated, unvaccinated. There's no leeway in that. If students are present, you have to wear a mask.
So the policy then, the update, would include statements that say staff, if fully vaccinated, when students are not present, are not required to wear their mask.
Exactly.
Right, so that's the change you want to make to it, Christian?
That is correct.
Well, I will modify my motion to include that language.
Thank you. Okay. And Stacy's seconding that. So we're back to a motion that's been amended.
Okay. So all in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean.
Aye.
Wilma.
Aye.
Stacy.
Aye.
Thank you.
Direction.
Good discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Item G, discussion and possible action regarding the approval to replace electrical panels in Doyle. I will move to approve.
Second.
Thank you, Sean. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean.
Aye.
Wilma.
Aye.
Stacy.
Aye.
Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of purchase of air cleaners for each classroom office in all locations.
What's the story with that?
What is the story with that?
Yeah, I don't know if I heard it correctly.
Air cleaners? Like, so air purifier type devices? Okay. Sorry,
yeah.
That's probably a better word.
I move to approve.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean.
Aye.
Wilma.
Aye.
Stacy.
Aye.
Okay. Action item I. Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the CBEST waivers for substitute teachers for the school year 2021 through 22 for Long Valley School and Thompson Peak Charter.
Honestly, it's so hard to find anybody who's gonna sub for you. But if we found somebody who had a bachelor's degree who could qualify to sub, in order to sub, you have to have a bachelor's degree and you have to take the CBEST test, the basic teacher test. what this allows us to do, especially with COVID, sometimes it's not available for a couple of months. We can waive that requirement for some period of time so that they can start subbing for us.
I hadn't seen this.
Yep.
I move to approve.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Okay. Item J, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a declaration of need for fully qualified educators for the school term 2021 through 22 for Long Valley School and Thompson Peak Charter.
And so we do this every year. We just say we have a declaration because we have trouble finding fully qualified people. Almost every year it works out just fine. I want you to know we're all of a sudden now in the situation, we have a teacher who was doing the seventh, eighth grade, came to us this last week to say, oh, I took a job somewhere else. I'm not coming. So a teacher we had hired to work on the A through G courses, a high school teacher, is going to work in that seventh, eighth grade class. I need to have her use this to be able to, for the year, have an elementary credential equivalent so she can be in that classroom.
I move to approve.
Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Thank you. We are on K, is that correct? Yes. Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the student handbook for classrooms and independent study. Do we have a motion?
Question.
Yep.
On page 9 of the handbook, it says masks and costumes are not permitted. And I thought maybe we should change that wording now that masks are such a thing.
Wow. Good catch. You actually read through that level of detail.
You're hired, Wilma.
I think we can make that correction.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Figure out how to.
Since we were changing it, I thought on this girl.
Yeah.
Updated.
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to.
You can just see a parent say, it says right here, masks are not.
Yeah, right.
Especially in Nassau County.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I may just say something about Halloween.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. But
yeah,
it just,
right.
You know,
that's where
I take it out of context. Like, it's
yeah,
where
no, it felt like it belonged. Right, it has some costumes.
I have a few kids that would too. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So the motion can be for a corrected provision. Okay.
So. I'll make the motion to approve it with the change on page 9 to reword the item that refers to masks.
And you're gonna make a change there?
Yeah, I'm not coming quick on my feet to tell you what to change it to, but
yeah.
I will fix that if it goes in here.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Sean?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Stacy?
Aye.
Okay, do we have any future items?
There's 1,000 things, Christian, but I can't think of none of them right now.
Okay, so we're gonna adjourn at 1900. Thank y'all.
Good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, no problem.